Thank you. Do go and take seats. And we are starting this new series now. It's My Life, His Way. It's a series that's going to continue through pretty much most of this year. And it's about practical living for us as followers of Jesus in the 21st century. And we have no shortage of contemporary issues. We've no shortage of difficulties, of things, moral mazes to work our way through, things to ponder, to worry about, to discuss. And we'll be touching on some of the hot potatoes of our time as we go through this year and unpacking some of those, some in some detail, some we'll just be touching on. But we will be doing all that in a context. We will be doing all that in a context of our lives looking to Jesus. And we do that deliberately because, as John tells us, in Jesus, we have the words made flesh. We have God with us. We have God among us. We have God meeting humanity. We have God in humanity. And so in Jesus, uniquely, we have someone that we can look to discover what God is like. And we have someone that we can look to work out what it actually means to be truly human. And so we look to him. Aided by Scripture, we will be wrestling with these issues, but by doing it, by looking to him. And that's why we are starting this this year-long trajectory with John's Gospel, to set the context for us to be making Jesus our focus as we wrestle with this stuff, looking to him. So at every level, do we make Jesus our focus in your individual lives, in the way that you set about your life into work as we gather here? Make Jesus our focus. That's our first key question of the year. It's one of those in questions, what God is doing among us. Do we come together for Jesus to be the focus? You see, this series is not simply about us trying to live correctly. It's not simply about us trying to live morally right, whereas others may be getting it wrong. It's to be followers of Jesus, and as we follow Jesus, pointing others to follow him too. So as we come together in our gatherings, do we make Jesus our focus? Do we come together in a gathering like this on a Sunday morning with Jesus our focus? Of course we'll want to be nice to each other. Of course we'll want to catch up. Of course we'll want to say Happy New Year and that. All that is good and right. But ultimately, Jesus is our focus. And so in John's Gospel, what we discover is that John writes his account of Jesus slightly differently to the others. And he doesn't include all the different things that Jesus did, but he's more selective. And he chooses seven miracles, and he writes them up as seven signs. It's kind of like what he's trying to say is, here's seven good reasons to see Jesus as God with us, as God come into the flesh. Here's seven reasons, seven signs that tell us that he is the one for us to believe in. He is the one to make our focus. And the first sign we'll look at today is of course, the sign of the kingdom. And then there are two healing miracles. One is a healing that cheats death and enables life. The second healing miracle is actually also about livelihood, enabling to live well rather than just existing. And then there's the sign of one of the feeding miracles, the provision of God. And then there's Jesus walking out on the lake, on the water, showing that he is above, somehow transcendent, beyond the normal physics and the created order. And then there's another healing miracle, restoring of sight, but see John's commentary on that. Of course, it's not just about physical sight, it's about spiritual sight, what we see spiritually. Eyes opened spiritually. And then by now we're at John chapter 11. You get, if you like, a miracle appears to resistance, the seventh sign, where Jesus enables someone who's dead and already in the tomb to be brought back to life again, beyond the grave. So we've got kingdom, we've got healing, we've got provision, we've got the created order, spiritual sight, and even life itself in the seven signs. That's a comprehensive package. That covers a good set of bases, yeah? The seven signs to say he's the one to believe in. So the first one, the water into the wine business. What I like about this first sign with a wedding is almost the random, accidental nature of it. It was like Jesus was there almost by accident. I mean, there's no impression that he planned to be there. I mean, okay, a wedding in a village, probably in that culture, would probably include the whole village anyway. And Jesus and his mother and some others just happened to be nearby, and they got roped in too. And so that's the context for this miracle. He's randomly there. And, of course, the host has made this massive blooper in that they've run out of wine for the celebrations. Note to self, must not let that happen. Big blooper. Big embarrassment for the host. And then you've got this funny incident between Jesus' mother and Jesus. It's like Jesus' mother knows that something could happen. And she, I don't know, elbows Jesus. Come on, do the miracle. And like Jesus doesn't want to do it. It's like almost like a Monty Python sketch. She was like, come on, do it a bit. Mum, shut up. Shut up. Come on, come on, this is your moment. Do it, do it. No, no, it's not my moment. Will you be quiet, Mum? I mean, we've all had these moments with our mothers, haven't we? You know, we know what it's like. But then, of course, we get to that moment where actually servants are told, well, just do whatever Jesus tells you. And Jesus says, well, fill up those big jars, the ones for the ceremonial washing, fill them up with water, and then draw some off and take it to the master of a banquet. Of course, goes to the master of the banquet, and he's like blown away. Whoa, what is this? You know, the party's in full swing, and people have had their fill of wine, and so normally you kind of start bringing out the cheap stuff, but this is the best. This is the best. This is way, way better than what we would normally have. Where did you get this stuff? Now, do the calculations. I'm pleased that Steve, doing the reading, he came prepared. He'd already done the maths. Yeah, these are big urns of water. They're not just little cups. So do the maths. It works out at least 750 bottles of wine. At least. Probably over 1,000 bottles of wine. That's a heck of a party. Think about it. Even if the whole village is invited along, that's a lot of wine. That's an incredible party. And it's the best that is now served. What does this tell us? This tells us about God's kingdom. God's kingdom is one of abundance. God's kingdom is one of a heck of a party. It's amazing. It blows your mind. It's beyond all your expectations. And there's a sense that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. It's a wonderful, wonderful picture of God's kingdom coming, bringing this abundance and this incredible celebration with the best. And our sense of the kingdom is now, but not yet. The best is even yet to come. There's another thing that we can take. The context is a wedding. That's special. Because a wedding, the whole concept of marriage is special. It tells us lots of things, and the early Christians picked up on this. They realized in their understanding of God that the whole wedding imagery plays into this, because how were Christians then described? Jesus followers are described as the bride of Christ. In other words, the followers of Jesus come into the closest of relationship and union with Jesus and therefore God himself, coming together. Think about it. Think about how special that image is. That we as created come together with the divine. But also, we can flip the image round. It can work the other way. Because at the beginning of Scripture, in the first part of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, remember one of the things that it says about humankind? Humankind is created in God's image. In other words, there's something about us in our humanity that tells us something about God. There's something about us that in which you can see something about God. And the wedding marriage thing shows that as well. Where difference, male and female, hang on to that. Concepts, difference, that'll be useful later in the year. Difference comes together to make something which is one and whole and better. And so a human wedding, man and female joining together in marriage, again, it tells us something about God. And his desire for the physical to be united with the spiritual, with the created, the dust, to come together with that which is uncreated, which is eternal and goes on forever. To unite that which is temporary with that which is eternal. It's a mind-blowing picture going on here. Big stuff. Pushing the boundaries of the understanding that we would otherwise have. What words might we use for the magnificence of it all? Well, John hits on a word. The word glory. It's just so big, so magnificent, so splendiferous that it's glory. See, John says this water into wine miracle was the first sign through which Jesus revealed his glory. Another way to understand glory is all his goodness and a proclaiming of who he is. All his goodness and a proclaiming of who he is. So this first sign reveals all his goodness and the proclaiming of who he is, his glory, as they come through the sign of the water into wine, showing God's kingdom, It's a moment of glory. So understand that when we follow Jesus, we become about all that too. We become about Jesus and his kingdom, and with it, his glory. Don't think that following Jesus is just about us trying to get things right, trying to have the right answers, trying to make the right decisions where other people perhaps end up taking the wrong turn. It's much, much bigger than that. It's about him and his kingdom and his glory. As followers of Jesus, we are people of his kingdom. The abundant wine, the heck of a party kingdom. The one that shows God's desire to be united with his creation. And we want to see that. We want to see that breaking into the now. We want to see that across our city with our friends and our neighbours in all kinds of different places. That's why we have that phrase, our vision is we want to see kingdom life across the city. We want to see examples of this going on and taking place across the city, pointing to his glory, all the goodness of who he is and a proclamation of who he is. And I think we can see that in the ordinary and the randomness of the everyday. Even when perhaps you least expect it. And my challenge to you, for the first challenge of this year, is to be praying that we see kingdom sign in the ordinary everyday. If we can go to the next slide, please, Ron, which adds that challenge. Pray for kingdom sign to be seen in your everyday activity. Breaking in. Even as you go into the office or you meet your colleagues, you come alongside people who are hurting. Remember, you do that as someone who is following Jesus, someone who is about the kingdom, and that kingdom is characterized by abundant wine. See the snippets breaking in. I'll give you an example of one of these snippets before Christmas. We knew that there would come a point where the room that we're refurbishing off the hall would need plastering, and we'd need to find someone to do that. But then I had an idea that a few weeks before I'd met someone who was using the food bank. And talking to him, I discovered that his trade was a plasterer. But he wasn't working, he hadn't worked for some time because he'd been in a horrific accident. It had smashed up his body and he wasn't able to work. Although he was just getting to the point where he's thinking, maybe I could try and start working again. And I put two and two together. And I went to him, I said, well, look, we've got potentially a smallish job. Are you would you like to look at it? See if you could give it a go. And he came and he had a look. He sized it up. It's not that big. He said, yeah, I can probably attempt this. Might be a bit slower than the normal plaster would be because of my injuries, but I'll give it a go. So we agreed a price, and we set the time to do it. And that was just before Christmas. And he came in and he did the day's work. And as he worked, we had a chat and I learned more about his story, which I won't share with you now. But it was obvious to me that God was giving this guy a second chance in life. From total train wreck to a new possibility. And I said this to him. I said, I think God's giving you another chance. He said, yeah, well, I'm not sure I believe in God, but I do see that I'm giving a second chance, and I'm loving doing this work here today. And so when we'd finished and we'd mostly cleared up, I said, look, can I pray for you? And he said, yeah, I'd love that. And I prayed, and I just prayed a blessing on him and his family, and I prayed for the Spirit to touch his life. And when I finished praying, he immediately said, what was that? And I said, what was what? He said, As you prayed, the moment you started praying, all the hairs on the back of my neck went up on end. I had goosebumps all over. What was that? I said, just because God is on your case, man. He's given you a second chance. He's on your case. Start thinking about who he is and how you might look to him. And packed him off with some stuff. Oh, I don't know if I'll see him again. I don't know if he'll be able to stick around or we'll be able to engage. But as a kingdom sign in the everyday, in the mess of plastering, and there was water all over the place, and we just got cleared up. In the mess of that, the everyday ordinariness was a kingdom sign of God breaking in to touch a life. Pray yourselves to see kingdom signs in people's lives. Take this challenge seriously and pray that even in the everyday and the ordinariness of the people you work with and you meet, that there would be kingdom sign breaking in. You see, John recorded these seven signs, but he led on. In chapter 20, he said, look, Jesus did a lot more stuff than this, so I've only given you a snippet here. There's a lot more stuff than this. And at the end of his gospel, John then wrote, he said, look, I suppose that if I was to try and write down all the stuff that Jesus did, there wouldn't be enough room for all the books that would have to be written. Now, okay, you say he's using hyperbole. And of course, he didn't know about 5 terabyte disk drives and stuff like that. But I think it was also prophetic. It was prophetic because he knew that the things that Jesus did didn't stop with the physical Jesus walking here on earth. He knew that those things, those works of Jesus bringing kingdom sign, would continue through his followers. And so therefore there's potentially infinite kingdom sign. Infinite possibility as people follow him and make their lives about him and learn to live their lives his way so that their very lives themselves are a sign of God's kingdom. And the things that they do and through their actions, there are many, many instances of signs and things happening all over the place. As the people scatter and set about across the city and across the country and across the world. Let's be the people who make it our business to live our lives his way. And to be kingdom sign and to show the abundance of God's kingdom in all kinds of ways, in all kinds of places around the city and beyond. Let's pray.